excited, to be honest with you. All right, that question will make a little bit more sense later on. It's kind of a random question, but you may catch in teaching time why I referred to video games. We have been talking about Life of Love. I feel like I'm really loud. Am I really loud again? Let's quickly review. The first week we talked about a bunch of stuff that we're not supposed to waste our time on, but we should spend our time doing what? I'm not going to let you answer this because you were here last night when I asked that same question. Yes. On learning how to love. Did you totally cheat off your sheet? Oh, that went really high. I could have broken a light. No. You get what I give you. You're so ungrateful. That we're supposed to spend our life loving people, learning how to love God and love other people better, right? Then we looked at something that affects our ability to love other people. Anybody remember what that is? These are super easy questions. Sin, right? Yeah, and sin that we're... there's a Tootsie Roll. Sin that we just allow to be in our life, that we're comfortable with, that we just kind of live with and go, oh, I'm okay with this sin. We need to deal with those things because that affects our ability to love other people. And last week, we looked at something else that is really important in regards to loving other people. That... You're such a cheater! Something else is something that we need to check when we want to love other people. Our motives, right? Our motivations matter. Oh, I already gave you one. All right. Tonight we're going to talk about the last thing that that Paul tells Timothy about love, about agape love. And let me pray real quick and we'll get into it. God, I just pray tonight that you would clear away all distractions and that we would be able to hear your word clearly. And that it wouldn't be about my ideas or my words, but clearly your word would come through and that we would understand your truth better tonight. And that we would walk away from here tonight having the tools that we need to love other people better. And really, hopefully after tonight, that we would be different people tomorrow in the way that we love, and that we'd be known by the way that we love people. I just pray this all in your name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Daniel! Everyone say, we've missed you, Daniel. And we love your tie.
I do too.
All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. What page is that on? You guys all should be there, so you guys should all know that, right? 8:14. Everybody flip to 8:14. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We've looked at this every week. We're just looking at two passages tonight. This is one of them. Says this, the goal of this command, or the New American Standard says instruction, the goal of this instruction is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Just going to review with you guys a couple of things that we looked at last week about what love is, that it's this agape love. It's God's kind of love. It's the kind of love God has for us. It's the kind of love that we're called to have for him and to have for other people. There's a lot of components of love, but a few things that we looked at last week was one, that it's love that it doesn't look, that isn't, that does not envy, is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It's a love that doesn't look for what I can get out of someone. I'm not going to do something for you. I'm not going to be nice to you. I'm not going to try to love you so that I get something from you, which is how a lot of people love. It's not a love that boasts or is prideful, which means that it's not a love that's looking to get patted on the back, or a love that is looking to be popular because I want you to like me and I want you to like me and I want you to like me. I'm going to be a certain way. I'm going to act a certain way so that I can be I can be puffed up. I can be looked at better. I can be patted on the back. It's not that kind of a love. And the bottom line is that agape love is not self-seeking. It's selfless love. It's love that's not looking for what I can get. It's a love that's looking for what I can give to someone. Even if I get absolutely nothing in return, and I'm not even looking for anything in return, I'm not even looking for a nice word, I'm not even looking for a smile from you, I'm not even looking for being appreciated by you, I am still going to love you. It's the kind of love that God has for us. And he says, the goal of this instruction, that everything that I want you to be teaching, Timothy, this is Paul talking to Timothy, everything I want you to be teaching about, everything I want you to get is love. Loving God and loving other people better. And it's a love that comes from a pure heart, which we talked about, and a good conscience, which we talked about, and a sincere faith, which is the last thing that we're going to talk about tonight. Sincere means genuine is the word I like to use for it. It's the real deal. It's authentic. It's undisguised. It's not hypocritical, which hypocritical we kind of load with a lot of different terms and we call people a hypocrite or whatever. But all being a hypocrite is it means it's disguised. It's what you see on the outside. It's like putting on a mask. What you see on the outside is not the real person, the real thing. And this is faith that is the real deal. And that's not fake faith. You cannot, it's impossible to have fake faith and to love with agape kind of love, with God's kind of love. And faith is, and you guys have probably heard me use this definition all the time, it's trust, it's this trusting relationship that we have with God. Fundamentally, faith just means trust, but it's actually a belief in someone that is so sure and is so deep and is so full that you trust that person completely. And that's the kind of relationship that God calls us to and that we hopefully do have with God, that we believe him so much. You know, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That doesn't just mean, oh, I believe there's a God, or I believe that Jesus was a man who was the Son of God who died. It's actually believing in him. It's believing in him to the point that you completely trust him. And that's the kind of relationship that he's talking about here, this trusting relationship we have with God, that we're so bought into who God is and what he's done for us and everything that he says and does that we trust him completely with our lives. It's that kind of faith. So the first point is that agape love, and I'm being specific about that because there's so many different kinds of love. Agape love, this kind of love that we're called to, comes only from the one we trust our lives to. That is the only place it can come from, is this trusting relationship that we have with God, this faith, this sincere faith. And a lot of people fake faith. And I put it in quotes because it's not real faith when you fake it. But they fake this trust in God. They fake this Christian relationship because we have such a low bar of what really being a Christian is that, you know, if you go to church and you're kind of a nice person, then you kind of fit into that category of being a Christian. But that's not at all what a real trusting faith with God is all about. And so it comes from this relationship where you totally trust God with your life. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. This is where we're going to be the rest of the night. Great passage, a deep passage. I found myself when I was studying it wanting to go through all the ins and outs of this passage because it's awesome, but we don't have time to go through all the ins and outs. And really, I want you to get kind of the nuts and bolts of it anyway for what we're talking about. So 1 John chapter 4, what page is that on? What is it? 839. And you can keep that open because that's just where we're going to be the rest of the night. So it says this. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Every time I read those verses, I actually sing this song in my head. Do you guys know the song for 1 John 4:7-8? Okay. I grew up singing this cheesy song. I'm not going to sing it for you now, but anyway, great verses to memorize. But the bottom line of what he's saying here is that he says, "Let us love one another. Let us agape one another." All the words for love, and love is going to come up a lot in this passage, are all agape. It's this kind of love that God has for us. Okay, and he says, "Let us agape love one another, because agape love comes from God." It's just what we were just talking about. It comes from God. God is the source of agape love. He's the only source of agape love. Everyone who loves, everyone who agapes, has been born of God and knows God. Again, anyone who is able to love with agape, the reason why they're able to love with agape kind of love is because they're born of God, which means God birthed them, okay, and they know God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Really simple concept here. If God is the source of agape love, that means if you're connected to the source of agape love, then you have the ability to agape love, because he's the source, right? If you are not connected to the source of agape love, it's impossible to love with selfless love. It's impossible to love with love that's not about me. I'm going to love you because I want to get something from you. I'm going to love you because it makes me feel good to love you. I'm going to love you for whatever reason, but it's about me. Really, my love for you is about me. It's impossible not to love that way, to love selflessly, to love in a way that goes, it's not about me. It doesn't matter. It's impossible to love that way. And there's a lot of fakes out there, a lot of fakes in our world that look like agape. They look like selfless love. Like a mother and a child. I've had a lot of people say that when I've talked about this passage. They go, well, what about, you know, even people who don't love God and who aren't connected to the source, God, mothers have this unselfless, the selfless love for their kids. No, they don't. It looks like that sometimes. But it's about them. Sometimes we look at a soldier who dies for their country, and we go, that's selfless love. Look at that. He gave his life for the country he loves. Looks like selfless love. Not selfless love. Why? Because the only source of selfless love is God. If you're not connected to the source, it's impossible to love with that kind of love. The only other one that I thought of was like policemen or firemen, you know, firemen who run into a burning building and that they're willing to die to save a victim who's inside the building. Again, not selfless love. There's in all of those situations, I don't know what the motive is. I don't know what's going on there, but it's about them. Why? Because the only source of selfless love is God. Have you guys gotten that yet? Agape love only comes from the one we trust our lives to. And he goes on, and he reiterates this and talks about some more things, and starting in verse 9, he says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is agape love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He's giving an example here of this. This is what agape love looks like. It looks like what God did for us, which is that he sent his Son, which this whole concept means a whole lot to me, a whole lot more to me now that I have a son and a daughter than it did before. I understood it kind of intellectually, but it means so much more to me now because I think about me sending Clark to go die for somebody else. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. But God did that. He loved us so much that even though we were the farthest thing from him, even though we were enemies of his, even though we rejected him and we denied him and that we chose other things as being more important than him, and we went our own way and decided to do our own thing, which all of us did, we did nothing that was even kind of like, oh, you know, Nate's kind of a cool guy. There was nothing acceptable to me, to God. But God went, you know what? I'm not going to get anything out of this, but I'm sending my son to die for this person who rejected me, who has done nothing good, nothing acceptable to me. I'm going to send my son to die. That's agape love. And he says, this is love. Not that we loved God. That's the first thing that we need to understand. Agape love is not human love. It is impossible for us as humans to agape love. In ourselves, we have no ability to do that. Even if we try our hardest to love people with a selfless love, it's impossible. It's not from us. It can't be produced by us. This is love, not that we love God, because we can't. Our human love, impossible for us to love God with that kind of love. But this is love, that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Sent his son as a full payment for all of the ways that we've rejected God. That is it. I thought, when I was studying this, I was thinking about this Friends episode. I don't know if you guys ever watch Friends. It's kind of a hit and miss as far as how good of a show it is. But there is a really funny episode where Joey, you guys all know Friends, right? So if I refer to Joey, you guys don't know who that is? Okay, good. So Joey is trying to convince Phoebe that she cannot do anything without a selfish motive. That she can't do anything just completely unselfishly. And they go through this whole episode and the whole, you know, they keep coming back to this thing. And she does this thing where she, like, I don't know, gives a bike away to a kid or something. And then Joey's like, did that make you feel good? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, see? Not unselfish, you know? And through the whole episode, he proved to Phoebe, you can't do anything unselfishly. What I like about that episode, totally true. Humans cannot do anything that's completely selfless. It's always in some way about us. In the way we feel, the way that we get fuzzy feeling, the way that we like the way people look at us when we do something nice for them. It's about us. We can't produce it. Our human love and our best human efforts will always fail to agape love. And then verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Which you may be going, okay, wait, hold on. At this point, we just understand that what he's saying here is we can't, as humans, agape love anyone. And we can't agape love God. We can't agape love at all. It doesn't come from us, right? It's not human kind of love. So how does that work? He goes on in verse 12 and says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. I'm just going to go over, again, the skeleton of what this is saying here. I'm going to refer to a couple things. Look back at, starting in verse 12, he says these statements. He says, God lives in us. We live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. You go down a little bit farther in verse 15, it says, God lives in them and they in God. What he's saying here over and over and over and over again in a little bit different way is, this is how love is made complete in you, which is just a funky New Testament way of saying, this is how you're able to agape other people. Remember, you can't do it. Human, in our humanness, in our human effort, no matter how hard we try, we are always going to have selfish motives when we love other people. We're always going to. But we are able to love the way God loved us with completely selfless motives, giving everything for the person loved, not expecting anything in return or even necessarily wanting anything in return, but loving them just to love them. We can love with that kind of love because if we've trusted our lives to God, God lives in us. He's given us his spirit, it says in verse 13. And we live in him. We are able to love other people when we're connected to that source. God is the only source of agape love, right? And so the only way that we can love with agape is the fact that we have his spirit living inside of us. And that we have this trusting relationship with God that connects us with him, that allows his love to come through us when we allow him to love people through us. We're just instruments to be used by him. And when we allow him to use us to love other people, then he's able to agape them through us. Not because of our effort. See, when we try, when we put our efforts together, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. Even if we really want to love other people that way, we're going to fail. The only way to truly love people with God's kind of love, with agape love, is to let go and let God. I wasn't really meaning to say that statement, but you know, that's kind of a popular statement that's out there in Christianity right now, is to let go, let God do what he's going to do through us. Allow him to use our hands and to use our feet and to use our mouths to love other people with a love that's completely selfless. We can love other people when it's not about us. When we're connected to the source. When he's in us and he is using us. My really lame example that I thought of was like if you have a Game Boy. This is the whole video game analogy. Are you ready? If you have a Game Boy, I've never even had a Game Boy, but like you put a cartridge in the top, right, on a Game Boy, right? Okay. So you have a Game Boy and you put your cartridge in the top, and if you put in Super Mario into your Game Boy, what's the Game Boy going to play?
Super Mario.
Super Mario, right? Yeah. Okay. But if you take that cartridge out and you put Pokemon in, what's it going to play?
Digimon.
It's going to play Pokemon. If you put Zelda in, what's it going to play? Zelda, right? The only way that Game Boy can play Super Mario is if the cartridge is connected to the Game Boy.
Okay.
Guys, following where I'm going? Yeah, you got it at least. Okay, the only way that we are able to love other people is when the God cartridge is in us. Okay, yes, it's a lame example. But he says a really profound, awesome statement at the end of this. Okay, when we're connected to God, when he's able to use us, is when we can love other people. And then at the very end, he says, in this world, we are like Jesus. Which if you're reading this passage, you kind of go, where in the world did that come from? We're talking about God living in us and us living in him and us being able to love other people and agape other people because of God living in us and him and us living in him. And then in this world, we are like Jesus. Seems kind of like a random statement. But it's perfect, actually, for this situation because we are just like Jesus. Whether you realize it or not, we are in the same situation that Jesus was when he was here on this earth. Whether you realize it or not, Jesus, continually you'll find Jesus referring to this, that Jesus was human. He was fully human like we are human. He was tempted in every way that we're tempted, which means Jesus had times where he was like, I really want to sin right now. Just like we have times where we go, I really want to sin right now. But in those times, Jesus depended on the Father. And he was able to overcome sin and be a sinless man from start to finish because he was the perfect example of someone living in dependence upon God. Jesus is not an example of someone, of a human doing it right. He was an example of a human being able to live a perfect life in his own effort. Because Jesus would have failed just like we fail. Jesus is an example of someone who lived in complete dependence upon the Father every moment of every day. We, you and I, now that we've trusted our lives to Jesus, to God, we are just like Jesus. That we can live out our lives just like Jesus. We can agape people just like Jesus did 24/7. We can love people the way that Jesus loved people and the way that God loves people. When we live in dependence on the Father. Jesus is just our example for that. You know, I ask some people sometimes, do you think you could live a life like Jesus? No, not even possible. No. Jesus was Jesus. I hear that like when they refer to something that Jesus did. Well, Jesus did this, and I know he's our example, but I could never do that. Jesus was just like us, tempted in every way like us. The only difference was he lived in dependence upon the Father, just like we can do. All we have to do is go, God, here I am. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Whatever you want in my life, use me. Love people the way you love me, through me. I want to love people that way. You know, we were talking about last week about how it just seems so impossible to live a life that is completely about everybody else and not about us. That it just seems like in some way it has to sometimes, at least sometimes, be a little bit about us. But God calls us to a love that's always about everybody else. And it does seem impossible. And it is impossible except if we're dependent upon God. When we're dependent upon God, we can live this kind of love. It goes, what you need, what you want, what's best for you is way more important than what's best for me. And I'm going to love you that way. I'm going to end like we've ended every other time. You guys are probably sick of this verse by now. But I want to keep challenging you guys to go, do you believe this? Okay? Do you believe that this is what our life is about? The only thing that counts, Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that matters in my life, the only thing that matters in your life, the only thing that matters in life at all is this faith, this trusting relationship we have with God that shows up in the way that we agape other people. That is the only thing that matters. Or do we believe that basketball matters, that volleyball matters, that swimming matters? Do we believe that playing the piano or singing or playing a guitar matters? Do we really believe that living a good life and having a good job and making lots of money matters? Or do we really believe that the only thing that really matters is having this trusting relationship with God that shows up in the way that we love other people? Because that's what God says. That's all that it's about. And he doesn't just say that and leave us hanging. He's given us the ability to love other people when we live in dependence upon him. He's given us the ability to do it. We can do it now. The questions at the bottom of your handout. Say, in what specific ways do you need to stop trying and to start trusting? I can't emphasize to you guys enough about that being way more about what the Christian life is than about like living by a set of rules, which is usually what we try to make the Christian life about. It is so much more about us coming to the end of ourselves and going, I can't do it, and going, God, I need you. I'm going to live in dependence upon you. In what specific ways do you need to stop trying and start trusting? How does the way you love need to change? And how do you need to apply these truths to your life? And then just down at the bottom, if you guys would just fill in, I mean, it says, what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? But at least fill in one of those or a couple of those. And please write it down. I know some of you guys like think through it, but it actually helps to be able to write that down and to maybe even refer back to it later.